Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the controversial M44 device, the CSKT Tribal Water Compact, and a school program aimed at lowering student suicide rates. It's Friday, December 6th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana's lone voice in the U.S. House is blasting Democrats following yesterday's announced drafting of the articles of impeachment against President Trump. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates-Carney reports.
In a Facebook post Thursday, Republican Representative Greg Gianforte called the impeachment process, quote, a sham since day one, unquote. Gianforte also accused House Democrats of trying to overturn the results of the 2016 election. The statement follows Speaker Nancy Pelosi's announcement Thursday that the House was pressing forward with articles of impeachment against Trump. The House could vote on impeachment before Christmas. A spokesperson for Gianforte told MTPR the congressman was not available for an interview Thursday or Friday. Gianforte has previously said he does not believe there was any quid pro quo during a call between Trump and the Ukrainian president that is at the center of the impeachment proceedings. Gianforte has been a loyal supporter of the president since his first campaign for the House in 2017. The president's son, Donald Trump Jr., has endorsed Gianforte in his 2020 run for governor. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
The Trump administration yesterday reauthorized a controversial device used to kill livestock predators despite strong opposition. Rachel Kramer reports.
The Environmental Protection Agency's interim decision reauthorizes M44s with some new restrictions it says will guard against accidental poisonings. They include prohibiting the use of M44s within 600 feet of a home and 300 feet of a public road or path. Users also would have to post two warning signs instead of one. Colette Adkins, the Carnivore Conservation Director for the Center for Biological Diversity, says the spring-loaded devices that release sodium cyanide need to be banned and says the center plans to sue the EPA.
We're so disappointed and appalled. 99.9% of folks that commented on the EPA's reauthorization proposal asked for a ban.
Several conservation groups have long called for a ban after repeated instances of M44s poisoning non-targeted wildlife, pets, and people, including a teenage boy from Idaho in 2017. He survived, but his dog did not. The federal government cites a study estimating that coyotes annually kill 17,000 of the country's 112 million cattle. The EPA's assistant administrator said in a statement that the agency had worked with the Agriculture Department to ensure there are safe and effective tools for farmers and ranchers to protect livestock. Last year, Wildlife Services used M44s to kill 110 coyotes and 5 red foxes in Montana. Wild Earth Guardians recently filed a lawsuit to stop the use of the device. Montana's Wildlife Services state director did not respond to a request for comment before the deadline for this story. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Kalispell Regional Healthcare is facing a potential class action lawsuit over a data breach of personal information impacting up to 130,000 people. The hospital announced the incident in October, 2 months after it discovered the breach. The lawsuit filed late last month argues victims are at an increased risk of identity theft. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
Billings-based law firm Heenan & Cook is representing William Henderson, one of the roughly 130,000 KRH patients whose personal information may have been exposed in the data breach. The exposed data includes names, phone numbers, and medical information. Kalispell Regional Healthcare says 250 patients had their social security numbers exposed, but all of the data could have been accessed as early as May of this year. KRH says it didn't discover the breach until August. It announced the incident in October, saying that it took that time to clearly identify which patients may have been affected. The lawsuit filed in Cascade County District Court late last month argues that delay put potential victims at increased risk of identity theft, and that the hospital could have let a majority of its patients know sooner in order to allow them to put freezes on their credit and monitor personal accounts closely. The complaint also alleges that KRH didn't take proper precautionary measures to prevent the breach in the first place. KRH spokesperson Melody Sharpton says the hospital has not been served any court documents related to the case and declined to comment on specific allegations.
We are, however, disappointed about the lawsuit. We value our relationship with our patients and take safeguarding their privacy very seriously.
The complaint is asking the court to certify the case as a class action lawsuit and is seeking monetary compensation for those affected by the breach. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Former Helena Elementary School teacher and husband of Democratic State Superintendent of Public Instruction candidate Melissa Romano is facing a felony drug charge. The charges were filed Tuesday. I found out more. Court documents say a Montana Highway Patrol trooper found cocaine, LSD, and methamphetamine in the car of former Helena schoolteacher Eric Lehman in late August. Lehman resigned from his teaching job at Hawthorne Elementary on November 1st, according to reporting from MTN News, which first reported the charges. Melissa Romano wrote in a statement online, quote, "It has been a very difficult time for our family, but we are proud of Eric for taking responsibility for his actions, seeking treatment, and making amends," unquote. David Parker heads the Department of Political Science at Montana State University and says voters aren't aware of the effects family problems have on campaigns.
It's the candidates who don't run. It's the candidates that face a primary challenge as a result. It's the donations that don't happen.
Parker says Romano's campaign isn't the only recent example of a candidate's spouse facing legal charges. When then-Montana House Speaker President Scott Sales, a Republican, first announced his campaign for state Senate in 2012, his wife pleaded guilty to an embezzlement scheme.
And what's interesting is that it was in the news, but it certainly didn't affect Scott Sales' election. You know, he won.
Parker says the same might not be true for Romano.
The situation with Melissa Romano, however, is her husband's also a teacher. The nature of the job of being in charge of OPI being another issue of concern for voters. And thirdly, I have to admit, there's the issue of gender. Women candidates tend to be scrutinized more heavily by voters. It's not fair, but it's true.
Romano closed her online statement by thanking those who have supported her, saying, quote, "Montanans have lived up to their reputation of taking care of their neighbors," unquote. Romano's campaign for superintendent of public instruction is her second run for the office. She lost to Republican Elsie Arnston in 2016, the same opponent she will face in 2020 if she doesn't face a primary opponent. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. Montana Senator Steve Daines and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes announced yesterday that they have come to a new agreement that would settle thousands of the tribe's water rights claims. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Daines says he will introduce legislation next week that, if approved by Congress, will bring more than a decade of negotiation over the tribe's water rights to an end. Daines was not available for an interview, but provided this recorded comment.
The Montana Water Rights Protection Act will permanently eliminate almost all of CSKT's water claim rights across Montana.
Much like the compact passed by the Montana legislature in 2015, Daines says his bill would relinquish 97% of all the tribe's water rights claims that will need to be settled in court if Congress doesn't approve either proposal. The Trump administration recently signaled its support for the 2015 compact, which has been waiting for congressional approval. It's unclear whether the Salish and Kootenai tribes would maintain the same on and off reservation claims under the new legislation as they would under the 2015 compact. Daines only described the basic framework of his bill in a press release Thursday. The release says the key differences between this piece of legislation and the compact is that it lowers the amount of taxpayer dollars that would go toward the Flathead Indian Irrigation Project by $400 million. The tribe would receive $1.9 billion under the new agreement. The deal would also allow non-tribal residents on the reservation to settle water disputes in state and federal courts rather than only being decided before federal judges. Thursday's announcement was applauded by Democratic U.S. Senator John Tester, who says he proposed a similar plan to Congress in 2016. Tester provided a pre-recorded statement.
I'm glad we're now all on the same page about the importance of getting this done, but the clock is ticking, and it's ticking on our ability to prevent costly litigation and protect our state's most valuable resource.
Reading from a press release, CSKT spokesperson Rob McDonald said the tribe is thankful for both Tester and Danes' support.
The compact will fund long overdue repairs and improvements to the Flathead Indian Irrigation Project that will benefit the entire community. It will also secure in-stream flows for sensitive fisheries to ensure the protection of wildlife and lands.
Critics of the compact, like State Senator and Republican gubernatorial candidate Albert Olszewski of Kalispell, are reserving judgment until Danes releases his bill next week.
And it's too vague yet to know what effect it's going to have in western Montana, what effect it will have in District 6 in the Flathead and Lake counties.
Unlike the compact passed by the Montana legislature in 2015, Danes' office says his bill would not have to be approved by state lawmakers because it's a settlement with the Salish and Kootenai tribes and the federal government. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A recent report on suicide prevention by the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services revealed that 1 in 10 Montana high school students and 1 in 7 middle school students reported attempting suicide in the last year. Montana school districts are trying to turn those numbers around, with programs from the Health Department and the Office of Public Instruction that work to raise awareness of suicide and reduce the stigma of depression. Kay Erickson recently went to a Billings middle school to see how one such program tries to reach the students.
It's Monday morning and a group of sixth graders at Riverside Middle School are in the library, waiting for first period to begin. Normally, they'd be working off energy in the gym, but not today.
So this Signs of Suicide training is actually something that will help prepare you. If at any time you are faced with a situation where a friend is telling you something concerning, a family member is, and it'll prepare you for what to do.
That's Riverside counselor Crystal Knutson introducing SOS Signs of Suicide, a national program for middle school and high school students. It was developed more than a decade ago by behavioral health professionals to help students learn to talk openly about depression and suicide. This is the third year Billings Middle and High Schools have been teaching Signs of Suicide. The presentation takes about 45 minutes, a single class period. The students watch a video featuring kids their own age talking about real-life situations about depression and suicide.
Why am I so nervous all the time? Why can't I sleep? Wish I could. Never wake up.
I feel like I have all this weight in my chest. I wish I could just drop dead like my Uncle Hector.
Through the video and guided discussion by a school counselor, the students learn the signs to look for, like a friend who's been really active on social media but suddenly disappears, or someone who is really angry or irritable most of the time. The students are urged to act, acknowledge, care, and tell when they hear something from a friend. That's because most often troubled students turn to their friends with concerns and worries. Riverside Principal Kevin Kirkman.
And I think that's an important message. It's like, you know, you hear something, you say something, you know, and just find that trusted adult. Find, you know, if you can't tell somebody at school, tell somebody at home. They'll call the school, they'll call the police. We just want to make sure that everybody's okay and safe.
Here in Billings, Signs of Suicide is taught in 6th and 9th grades, but Riverside Middle School decided to have all three of their grades, 6th, 7th, and 8th, go through the program. Not only do all the students learn about the signs of suicide and depression, but they also fill out a brief self-assessment questionnaire. It's an effort to help the students better understand themselves and help the school counselors get to know the students better. Tiffany Parrish is another Riverside counselor.
And we're able to identify kids that do need extra support that we weren't aware of. And I think that's probably the best part of this program, is to be able to give them that additional support and let them know that people care.
Signs of Suicide is an opt-out program. The counselors report that out of 590 students at Riverside, only 8 or 9 opted out. The counselors and principals say the parents who participate are very appreciative of what the school is doing and identifying if their student may be struggling. Crystal Knutson.
We've also had some parents that were very caught off guard. They didn't realize that their child was struggling in certain areas. And so, once again, very appreciative that it came to light. And so now they're made aware. Because kids hide it a lot. They know how to hide things. They know how to just talk to their friends, but now they know that adults need to be involved.
Studies have shown that Signs of Suicide program leads to fewer suicide attempts. A study in 2015 found students in Connecticut who took Signs of Suicide were less likely to report suicidal behavior, planning, and attempts. They still thought about it, but University of Connecticut researchers suggest the training may play a role in preventing a student from progressing from thought to action. They also wrote that the training may have a greater impact on students who previously planned or attempted suicide. Signs of Suicide is not the only suicide prevention resource available in Montana. Others include the Crisis Action School Toolkit on Suicide, or CAST-S, which provides schools the tools to develop their own plans for suicide prevention. There's the PACS Good Behavior Game, which teaches elementary-age kids life coping skills. And QPR, a training program on the signs of suicide for teachers, bus drivers, janitors, anyone with contact with students. Now, despite all these resources, Montana's numbers of suicide attempts still come as some of the highest in the nation. Part of the problem is many schools don't use the resources.
We can provide it to them, but we can't make them use it.
That's Carl Rosten, Suicide Prevention Coordinator with the State Health Department. He points out that Montana has some 500 school districts that operate independently. Only 180 of them are currently teaching signs of suicide.
Given the geography and the demographics of our state, it's really hard to take all these programs and take them to scale where everyone has access to them and will use them.
There was an attempt in the 2015 Montana legislature to require teachers to receive 2 hours of suicide prevention training every 5 years for renewal of teacher or specialist certificate. But when the Suicide Awareness and Prevention Act was signed into law, the word required was changed to recommended. Dr. Lyle Seavey, director of Billings Clinic's psychiatry department, says even with all the work done in the schools, the problem will not change overnight.
A lot of the work that we're doing now around suicide prevention at school levels and, you know, in colleges, et cetera, we're not going to see the change in our overall per capita suicide rate until down the road.
CV says a cultural sea change is needed to truly address the issue.
We don't talk, particularly in Montana and a lot of the Rocky Mountain states, we don't talk to people about our problems. We hold it in. We've got, incredible access to weapons, alcohol, and isolation, which are, three really negative, factors for suicidality.
Carl Rosten with the health department agrees.
We have that cowboyette mentality, a sense of independence. We take care of our own. We don't like to talk about our problems. And we really have a huge stigma when it comes to issues like depression and anxiety. And until we get over that, we're going to continue to have this issue.
Riverside Middle School counselor Tiffany Parrish says signs of suicide may be one of the ways of erasing the stigma of depression and suicide.
These kids are our world, and we need to do everything that we can to help them cope with the difficult situations in their life and let them know that suicide isn't the answer.
With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.